land of ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see, don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my power, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey everybody, welcome back into the show. This is Friday, September 20th, 2024 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. We're going to get Pastor Chatfield in the studio here shortly, having some technical difficulties. There he is. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Something with my headphones were not
working. Not a problem. Not a problem. I love technology when it works and hate it when it doesn't. So greatly appreciate you joining us. You got a good lesson planned for us today. Perhaps this is what you're teaching in the class right now?
Well, no. You'll see. I got a practical application to this, but it's not what I'm teaching right now.
Okay.
So here we are in the Civil War, and Robert E. Lee is the head of what he calls the Army of Northern Virginia. He is winning victory after victory over the North that Lincoln could not find a general that could win. Actually, couldn't even find a general that would fight. He had hired McClellan twice and fired him twice. Hooker, Burnside's, Winfield Scott at the beginning, could not find a general to win, and it seemed like that Lee was winning everywhere. Big victories at Fredericksburg, Chancellorsville, first and second battle of Bull Run, and it was almost as if Robert E. Lee was like invincible. He seemed like at every step he outsmarted the Northern generals, the Union generals. Back in 1862, he had ventured into the North. And there was a pivotal battle, the Battle of Antietam in Maryland, which you have to kind of call a draw or maybe a scratchy Union victory. Could have been a great victory. McClellan was in possession of Robert E. Lee's battle plans that one of his generals had discarded, that he'd wrapped a cigar in, and he found it, but he didn't do anything with it. But here we are in the early summer of 1863, and he decides he's going to invade the North again. He's going to threaten the North, maybe even threaten Washington, D.C., maybe even threaten Philadelphia. He's heading north. And as he heads north, Lincoln sends his general, he's got a new general now, Meade, and he is going to shadow the movements of Lee, always making sure that he stands in between Lee's army in Washington, D.C. Because, in other words, you didn't want to just trail him. Otherwise, with you would think with the intelligence that Robert E. Lee had. He could make a run on Washington, D.C., threaten Washington, D.C., and if the Confederacy captured Washington, D.C., no, that would have been the end of the war. The Union would have had to recognize, we're going to have to sue for peace. And so each army was, you know, Washington, D.C., and Richmond, the capitals were a big deal. So anyway, so he's moving north, and he's going around to the west of D.C., and Meade is going to shadow him, staying between Lee's army and Washington, D.C. And this goes on for a couple weeks until it comes to a head. The Battle of Gettysburg is the largest battle ever fought in the Western Hemisphere. 150,000 men.
Wow. That is huge. Good spot for a break. Hold that thought. I'm Trucker Randy. He's Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Folks out there that own firearms are looking to buy a new or used gun or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go. And you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield, teeing it up at a perfect absolutely perfect spot. The Battle of Gettysburg, you said the largest at the time, the largest in the Western Hemisphere battle?
Correct. Ever. Nothing's been bigger than this. Never a battle like this.
Never since then either.
Correct. 150,000 men. And now, Robert E. Lee always depended on his cavalry officer, Jeb Stuart, to give him good intelligence. But in this particular case, Jeb Stuart failed Lee. He was out doing a lot of things, raiding Union forces, collecting arms, but he lost contact with Lee for over a week. And so Robert E. Lee didn't know exactly where Jeb Stuart and his cavalry was. Cavalry simply means they were men on horses and they could move. And therefore, he didn't know exactly where the Union armies were either. So he was kind of blind to this. And so he's in southern Pennsylvania, near the middle part of the state, near the border of Maryland and Pennsylvania. And the Union, who has a new general now, Meade, they're watching. They're a little more aware of what's going on. There was a rumor that there was a little town in Gettysburg that had shoes, and a lot of the officers, the soldiers, not the officers, in Lee's army were without shoes, and there was a rumor that there was a shoe factory there. So they turned south toward Gettysburg to see, hey, let's see if we can get some shoes. They didn't know where the Northern armies were. And by the time they got there, the Union cavalry saw it and confronted them on day one, July 1st. And there was a skirmish. And as the shots were fired there on both sides, people started to move toward Gettysburg at breakneck speeds, get everybody there that we can possibly get there. So what started off as small battle turned into a large battle. And the Union was able to hold off the Confederates on day one at long enough so they weren't completely overrun. And by the end of it was a three-day battle. By the end of day one, the Union held the high ground. And this was unusual because throughout the war to this point, the South seemed to always have the high ground. And what that means in war, and it's still true, but it was especially true back then, if you're on the high ground, you can shoot down on your enemy. Your bullets go farther, your cannons go farther, you can see more. It's a big advantage to have the high ground. But the Battle of Gettysburg, day one, you would say kind of like a draw on day one. Maybe the South did a little better on day one. Day two, this is the day of Little Round Top, the day when Chamberlain, he was the 20th Maine, who wins an incredible battle at Little Round Top, Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain. He was at the southern tip of the Union lines on the ridge. And he was met by some men from Alabama, and they charge up the hill. They charge up the hill, and basically the whole Union army would have been flanked if they would have retreated or allowed their line to be overrun. And so they're out of late in the afternoon. They're essentially out of ammunition, and they do a very textbook maneuver. They create kind of like a swinging door, and they swing down on the Alabamians that are coming up the hill. It was just completely surprised them. And a lot of the men that were charging down the hill with bayonets, kind of like a swinging door, didn't even have any shots. They were completely out of ammunition. But the Union flank held. That was a huge battle. Now, some historians make a very big deal about it. And, you know, I've learned this. You read one book, then you read another book, and everybody's got their opinion. I'm going to go with it was a huge day for the Union. Their lines held. It's not that they destroyed the Confederate Army, but they did hold the line, and they held the high ground day three. So there's a long, I think it's like 5-mile line of the North on the high ground. So on the first day, on the north side was the first day of battle, and on the south side was the second day of battle. And so they hadn't attacked in the middle of the Union line on day three, July 3rd. And by the way, it's interesting because everybody knew that Chamberlain's 20th Maine did a great job. And he says, okay, you can the safest place in the line, you're going to go down to the middle of the line, which becomes the third day of battle, which is Pickett's Charge. Now, by this time, the battle was pretty much a draw. But the North held the high ground. And if there was a mistake that Robert E. Lee made in the war, it was here. Third day of Gettysburg, his dander was up. And in the movie Gettysburg, and I've read things like this. Unfortunately, in the movie Gettysburg, they take a lot of their information from Longstreet, who was Robert E. Lee's second in command. And so here they are. There's two massive armies facing each other. And Robert E. Lee says, if we attack them right in the middle, right where their line bends, we can break them. We can break them. And Longstreet tries to talk him out of it. You're going to have to walk across some, like 2 miles of open ground. You can't do this. You can't ask men to do this.
Yeah, they're basically sitting ducks at that point.
Right, but now he asked Pickett to do it because Pickett hadn't arrived. He had missed the first 2 days of battle, his general. And he was anxious. He was thankful for the opportunity for glory. And so he leads out with his Virginians on this march across this open ground. And they make it to the wall in one spot. And they overrun the wall just briefly, but there's just too much, and they're repelled. And basically, Pickett's entire corps is overrun and destroyed. When
entire division completely wiped out?
Yes, pretty much.
Wow.
Robert E. Lee says, hey, regather your forces for a counterattack. And then Pickett says to Lee, I have no forces, General. My army's destroyed. My division.
Their division's completely wiped out. How many men would Pickett be in charge of?
Oh, boy.
Probably 10,000?
I don't have all these details. I'm going to say about 10,000 that marched across there. And he lost most of them. He lost all his generals. He lost a lot. Now, don't go to the bank on that number, but a lot of men across there. And so here's, and by the way, right at this point, if the North would have gathered up and say, we've defeated them, let's go across that field, we can capture, we can destroy Lee's army. And Lee's army, they were preparing for a counterattack because that's what Lee would have done.
Sure.
You got to stay right on top of it, but Meade didn't do it. And so, while trying to defend themselves, Lee retreated. And his line of retreat was 17 miles long of wagons and men that were retreating back to the South. The South would never again try to invade the North. And so we have to say Gettysburg was a turning point in the war. It was a turning point. Huge battle. Big mistake on Lee's part to invade at that what became known as Pickett's Charge. It's that day, July 3rd, 1863, is known as the high water mark of the Confederacy. I mean, from there. Now, they won some battles. They would win more battles in 1864, the summer of 64, at Wilderness and Cold Harbor. A lot of terrible battles in Virginia and a lot of blood. In the South, the Confederacy would win more battles, but they would never threaten the North. And the problem was for the Confederacy was the North, the Union. And when they put Grant in charge, when Lincoln found Ulysses S. Grant and put him in charge, he had been, remember, at this point, Grant had been out west. He had just, at almost the same day, he wanted the, he captured the Vicksburg, Tennessee, and Vicksburg on the Mississippi. And it was a huge, because that divided the Confederacy. And so Grant was a man that could count. And when he became the chief general of the North. I mean, he was the first one to become, I think they said, a four-star. There's some sort of military term. But he was in charge of everybody. He knew he had men. He knew he could get more men. And so he kept throwing his men up, and he was just going to stay at it. He was not going to retreat from Lee. Before Grant, the Northern armies would get defeated and they'd regroup. And they kept doing that. And that allowed the South to regroup. Grant understood in 1864, even though he lost a lot of battles, hey, we got more men, we got more resources, we're not going to retreat ever. We're going to stay right on top of it. And when they were trying to capture Petersburg, I mean, that was a very long, it became a siege of Petersburg to the point eventually that Lee could not hold out. He retreats, and eventually he's captured in western Virginia. And so that is the way when Lee has to surrender to Grant. Oh boy! What in April of 1865?
Right.
And so there you go, the end of the war. But back to Gettysburg, the North should have followed up. But here's the point I'm going to try to make. And again, this is from Longstreet's memoirs and what he said. He was arguing to Lee, "Let's not look. If we swing around quickly to the east of." Meade's army, the Union army, we can race to Washington, D.C., and there's a path to Washington, to D.C.
They basically go around Meade's defense and maybe perhaps not engage, just basically Correct. Go around and go directly to Washington.
Toward Washington. Now, the North would not allow that. The North, the Union would be on their tail.
Sure.
Because they would, but what that would do is we could stop at a place of our choosing, hit the high ground, and make them attack us. That's what he was arguing. That's what Longstreet was arguing to Lee. And Lee says, no, the enemy's right here in front of me. We can't retreat. Now, here's the, according to the movie Gettysburg, and they got this from Longstreet, and so you got to take this with a grain of salt. And Lee says to Longstreet, his right-hand man, you mean retreat, General Longstreet? And Longstreet says, no, not retreat, redeploy. Not retreat, redeploy. And that's kind of it reminded me of something on the other side. I'll make a modern day application to that. Not retreat, but redeploy. But no, he wouldn't do it, Lee. And he made a mistake. I don't know. I think every trained soldier, every general knew that was a mistake. Even the men that were marching across that field facing thousands of men pointing guns at you and you have nothing to protect you and cannon blowing huge gaps in your line, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
But Lee hadn't really ever lost a battle before, and maybe he thought he was invincible or his men were invincible, and
sure.
Somehow God was on their side and they were going to win. But we'll, on the other side, I'll talk about applications to the idea. Not retreat, redeploy.
Absolutely. I'm going to send you a text message we got from Ed and Paula up in Sheboygan, so you can read that during the break and possibly respond to it before you continue with your lesson plan, if that would be okay.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll send it to you on the text message. Great discussion with Pastor Chatfield. Our history, Civil War.